That's great singing. Turn please in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9. And tonight we want to deal with the subject after this. We want to read in Hebrews chapter 9 and coming down to verse 19. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 19. And the word of the Lord says, "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and silk wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testimony which God have enjoined unto you. Moreover, being sprinkled with blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavenly should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the fingers of truth, but into heaven itself, now to be appeared in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he offer have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Amen. We know that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll ask our brother Stephen now if he'll come and bring the necessary announcements. Thank you. Amen. If you have your Bible again, would you please turn into that passage you read earlier, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And when you're looking up that text, we want to take for our text tonight those two little words that is found in verse 27. After this. With the word of God open, let us turn please to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, again as we bow in your presence, Lord, we thank thee for these wonderful hymns and yet solemn hymns that we've been singing together. And Father, it is our prayer that, Lord, people would not put off the day of their salvation to another time, but Lord, that if they hear thy voice speaking to them tonight, that, Lord, they'll come and put their faith and trust in thee. Lord, we think of those who are involved in outreach. We think, Lord, of the brethren that go out around the band parades and different parades. And, Father, we pray that thou will bless them and encourage them. And we pray, Lord, that for every gospel tract that, Lord, they hand out, Lord, that they don't know who the hand is that receives it, but, Lord, thou dost. And we pray that thy Spirit would take that gospel tract and write your word upon their hearts and convict them of their sin, and Lord, bring them to saving faith in Christ. We think, Lord, of our young people, and Lord, as they would, those that would go and take up in this outreach, Lord, we pray thy protecting hand upon them, that you'll keep them under the blood, and Lord, as they take their stand and testimony for the glory of Christ, that Lord, that as others look upon them, that Lord, they will take note that they've been with Jesus. Again, Father, we turn now to thee, and Lord, we've never preached on this text before, and Lord, we're in so need of thy help and thy power. And Lord, we just pray you'll take this preacher and hide us, Lord, behind the cross and fill us with thy Spirit. And Lord, use us for your honour and for your glory, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. As I was preparing for this message tonight, I've got to honestly say that we have struggled throughout this week to come to a final upon the message. We sought the Lord on Sunday and Monday for that clear text that the Lord would have us to preach here tonight, and nothing for 2 days would come clear. And then we began to get a little bit worried about it and began to seek the Lord even harder on the message for tonight. And about the early hours of the morning, we woke up with this text in our mind: after this, the judgment. Mighty friend, when you try to put something to the back of your mind, you think, well, is this the text or is it not? And then you wake again and that same text is ringing in your mind and heart. You've got to say to yourself, surely this is the text that the Lord wants us to proclaim. I've never preached on this message, this text before. And verses 27 and verses 28, they go together. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. My dear friend, here we have in Hebrews chapter 9, we have a changing from the old to the new. In the first verses of Hebrews chapter 9, you find how the high priest, that high priest would go in once a year. He would go in with the blood, and he would make atonement for the sins of himself and for the people. It says there in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 7, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of his people. And my dear friend, all through the Old Testament, you will learn of the great high priest as he goes into the holiest of the holiest once a year with the blood to make an atonement and a sacrifice for the sins and the errors of the people of Israel. But my friend, when that appointed time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us unto God. For when Christ appeared, he appeared the once, to make that once and for all sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. As it says in verse 26, for then must he, that is Christ, often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So my friend, what do we find at the start of Hebrews is the old works of the priest. The priest was a typify of Christ, going into the holiest, going into where only the high priest could go. And then when we come down to the end of this chapter, we find that when Christ died on the cross, when he cried that mighty cry, it is finished. My dear friend, he entered into the holiest of holiest, and the veil was rent in twain. My friend, there is no need now for that great high priest to go in once a year, because the work is complete. The work is finished. The work is done. And it was done at the cross of Calvary. We know that the Roman Catholic Church teaches that with the crucifixes of Christ, they continue to crucify Christ. My dear friend, Christ is not on the cross tonight. He's not on the cross. Christ is not in the tomb. The Bible says, come see the place where he lay. It doesn't say, come and see where he is. It says, come and see the place where he lay. You see, my friend, the tomb is empty tonight. He's up from the grave. He has ascended into the heavens. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding on our behalf. You see, my friend, we don't preach about a dead Savior, but we preach about a risen Savior. We preach of one who is alive, who has made atonement for our sin. As verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. My friend, if you take the time to go down this chapter and just look for those that little word once. Once. He did it once. He did it once. And when he appears the second time, he's not going to the cross to die again. He's not going to the cross to shed his blood again. When he appears the second time, my dear friend, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which remain on the earth shall be caught up forever to be with the Lord. He's coming to reign. He's coming to reign. And he's coming with the saints. But I'm sure you've noticed, as we read tonight in verse 27, there are these two little words that stick out. It says, and as it is appointed unto men once. There's that word once. You see, my friend, as Christ once appeared, as Christ once died on the cross, you and I will once die. We will only die the once. And my dear friend, as we come, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, if you were to look at that little words, after this, there are some people in this country, there are some people maybe in this church, and you would certainly agree with me on the first part of verse 27. You would agree with me. You would say, yes, it is appointed unto men once to die. I believe that. And yes, I know that I will die. But I don't want to believe the second part, that after this, there's a judgment. See, my friend, there are people in this country, and they would like to believe that once you're dead, and nothing happens after you're dead. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches here in the Word of God, and read it for yourself, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, there's a but. But after this, the judgment. My friend, there are three things I want you to say about this evening. And the first of those is, this appointment, it is certain. That is the first thing we can say about this appointment, it is certain. My dear friend, it is certain that it is an appointment that we will keep. You can put off many appointments in your life. Maybe you don't like going to the dentist, and who of us do? I certainly don't like to go. The last place I want to sit is in a dentist chair. And you'll try all you can maybe to put it off, but I can't make that appointment. Can you change it to some other time? And you'll try to prolong that appointment. Maybe the same with the doctor. You don't want to go to the doctor, so you can ring up and cancel your appointment. Maybe it's the MOT in your car. You've got the date, you've got the appointment, but the car's well on in age, and you know, it's not going to pass, so I might have to cancel this appointment to another time. My friend, there's something certain about this appointment. You can't cancel it. It's certain. As it is appointed unto men once to die, my friend, it's certain. But when this time of our appointment comes, it is certain we will die. There is no saying to the death angel, hold on, I've got to build my house, I've got to finish my work, this is only in the prime of my life. No, my friend, when that appointment time comes, it is certain. It is certain we will die. The appointment is to have an arrangement to meet someone or to arrange an event. And my friend, in God's calendar, God has set an appointed time. God has arranged a time for you and for me. And it is certain when that time comes, we will have that meeting with God. See, it says in Genesis 3 and verse 9, dust thou art and dust thou shalt return. You shall labour and sweat in the toil of the ground, but dust thou art. You were taken from the dust of the earth into the dust of the ground. He shall return. See, that's certain. That's certain. My friend, God has set an appointed time. As Job said, thou hast set my bounds that I cannot pass. The dominion of his days and his months are numbered. And my friend, in God's calendar, from the day that you and I were born, God has a set time when you and I will leave this scene of time. And we will go to stand before the Lord. See, it says, there's words of comfort here for the Christian. I was listening to a DVD the other night from Alan Bartley, Going Beyond the Grave. And in that, there was a man who was singing, and he told of a preacher who got up to preach, and he says, I hope there are people in this meeting that when you come to die, all you have to do is just die. It's just die. And I hope, ladies and gentlemen, young people, there are people in this meeting, and when it comes to die, all you have to do is die. Because you see, for the Christian, there's a glorious hope. That's why the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And what gain has the Christian got? The moment he or she will die, they will enter straight into the presence of the Lord. It'll be absent from the body, it'll be present with the Lord. And my friend, that is what we're looking forward, that when we come to die, it'll be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. You see, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in that verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See, my friend, that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 10, that's not speaking about the judgment for the unbeliever. That's speaking about the judgment for the saved. But my friend, we're not going to be judged for the sins that we have committed. They have already been judged in Christ upon the cross. It's our work, it's our service for Christ that we're going to give an account for. That's speaking of the Bema Seat of Christ. But you know, there's a little verse below that. You know what it says? Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You see, my friend, all I have to do is die. It's absent from the body, present with the Lord. But knowing the terror of the Lord, there are those in this meeting, and you're not saved. And I want to persuade you to come to Christ tonight. I want to persuade you to come to the Savior. That when it comes to your appointed time of death, that you can truly say, it is well with my soul. See, my friend, the first thing about this appointment, it's certain. The second thing about this appointment is, it's sure. It's sure. As it is appointed unto men once to die. Ladies and gentlemen, all around us, we are reminded of death. Whilst in life, we are in death. I think from May, June, July, or every week of every day, I've heard of those close and dear and far around. And then one week, I remembered of three people dying in the one week. Three funerals in one week. All of different ages. Is that not a reminder to you and I tonight that while we are in life, we are in death? Death is sure. If there's one thing we're sure of tonight, if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries his coming, there is one thing that each one of us are sure of tonight, is that we're going to die. We're going to die. Job again said, seeing his days are dominion, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds and he cannot pass. My friend, death is no respecter of persons. We have been reminded of that this week. The old may die, the young might die, but the old will die. And we have been reminded of that. We've been reminded of that again. You see, my friend, it is sure. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. Why do we die? As it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore by as one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Not as Adam. God said to Adam, of every tree of the garden that they can touch, but of one tree, of the tree of good and knowledge, they're not allowed to touch it, they're not allowed to eat it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And because of that one disobedience of Adam, because of that one sin in the garden of Eden, my dear friend, death passed on to all men. We die because of sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. My friend, God says in his word, as it is appointed unto man, once to die. You see, from the moment Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, death passed unto all men. It passed unto all men. I know you're maybe sitting in this meeting and saying, well, I didn't come here really to hear that. You see, my friend, there are people, and the last thing they want to think of is the day of their death. But my dear friend, you need to. You need to. Because you see, not only is this a certain promise, not only is it a certain an appointment, and not only is it a sure appointment, but you know something else about it? It's final. It's a final appointment. Because there's no returning from death. There's no return. My friend, the place that knows us now will soon know us no more. Generations come, generations go. Families change, death separates, death aparts. And God says in his word, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, it's final. It's final. I want you to turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And I want to bring out a man in the Word of God in a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of. And it was a man who was so busy in his labour, so busy in his work. And there's nothing wrong with being busy. There's nothing wrong with being a hard, honest, earning, working person. My dear friend, please remember the one that gave you all the gifts, all the blessings that you have. Everything that you have has come from God. And here was a man, the rich fool, as the Bible speaks. And it says in verse 16, "And he," that is the Lord Jesus, "spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenteous." Here is a man who's been blessed. He's been blessed in his labours. And the ground that he has laboured, it has brought forth plenteous. And he says to himself, he says there, "And he wrought and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do?" Now my friend, he's got a problem. His ground has yielded forth a great harvest, and he has many fruits, he has many things stood up, and he comes in his heart and he says, "What shall I do? What shall I do?" My friend, when we begin to read this, you will see he never mentions God at once. He never mentions the Lord at all. Look at what he says, and he says, "And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all the fruits of my goods." See, my friend, he's boasting in himself. He's thinking, what shall I do? And he says, "I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and I will bestow all my fruits." And then look at verse 19. "And I will say unto my soul, I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." My friend, the Bible says, "Boast thyself not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." In this man's heart, he is not thinking once of God. All he is concerned about is goods and not his soul. He's not once giving thought to the day of his death. He's not giving thought to that appointed time when God will call him from this scene of time. And yet the next verse, But God said unto him, Thy fool, this night is thy soul required of thee." Man, it was an appointed time. It was his appointed time to die. And while he was so caught up with his business, while he was so caught up with his work, one thing he forgot about was the safety of his own soul. It was the destiny of where his soul would be. Is that you tonight? So caught up in the labours of your work? So caught up with your business? So caught up in the pleasures of your sin, loving your sin more than loving of God? Maybe you're a young person and you're saying, just like this rich fool, "Eat, drink, and be merry. Go out and enjoy yourself. Enjoy the things of the world." But you're never thinking of death. My friend, death can come to the young, just like it can come to the old. What if it was to be your appointed time tonight? What if God was to say to you after this meeting, giving much thought on the things of eternity, seeing from yourself in the Word of God, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment? And my friend, you realize tonight, there's an after this. There's a time that I'm going to stand before God. There's a time that I'm going to give an account. I need to think of my soul. Do you ever think of it? Do you ever think of where you will be 5 minutes after you die? Even before the undertaker has even got to you, even before the doctor reads out the prescription, my friend, 5 minutes after you die, if you die without Christ, you'll be lost forever. It's final. There's no coming back. There's no saying, "Lord, let me come back and let me prove." My friend, there's no seeking God in eternity. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Call upon Him while He is near.
My friend, if God is speaking to your heart tonight, my friend, don't put it off till another night. Don't say, I'll wait till some other time. I'll wait till I'm older. I'll wait till I've finished my work. I'll wait till I've put the roof on the house, and then I'll give thought of my soul. No. My friend, you need to think of it tonight. You need to think of it now. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. This man never thought of eternity. My friend, I showed you in Hebrews chapter 10 that we must all, and get that wee word all, it's important. Or sorry, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. To everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he have done, whether it be good or bad. My friend, that's the child of God. Remember, we as God's people are going to stand before the bema seat of Christ, and our works are going to be judged. The Bible tells us that the judgment of the Lord will start at the house of Israel, but what shall the end be? God will start his judgment at the house of Israel. He will start to judge his people, but what shall the end be? Them that believe not the gospel of Christ. You see, my friend, there's an after this, you know. My sinner friend, you're maybe trying to put it off. You don't want to think of after this. Yes, you agree with the preacher. You say, yes, I agree. I understand there's an appointed time. And I agree with you on that. Yes, I agree with you that it's certain that one day I will die. But my friend, get this. Let this word sink into your heart. But after this, the judgment. And that little verse says, therefore we know in the terror of the Lord. And my friend, I can't even start to explain to you what God has in store for those who reject Christ. I will struggle tonight. Because such is the darkness of eternity. Such is the separation of eternity. My friend, there's no coming back. Yet week after week, meeting after meeting, mission after mission, you continue to go out the door rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Giving no thought of after this. Yes, you've heard of maybe those close to you have died. Yes, you've heard of tragedies in our country and our land. But you'd never think that this might ever come to me. That the day of my death will come. That it will be my name that will be written in the newspaper that people will read all about. Those are the things that you don't want to think about. You know, there was a famous prime minister once in the way back years ago who tried to demolished from his mind the very thought of death. He removed any memorial plaques there was, and he tried to blot out anything that would come in his picture that would remind him that one day he's going to die. And the man got so oppressed with himself and got so shut inside his walls that he began even to close the very curtains that he couldn't even see out to remind him of death. But as he lay in his bed in the darkness of that room, the very darkness of the room brought the terrors of hell to his mind. And my dear friend, my dear sinner friend, I honestly have to say this tonight. I couldn't even reveal to you the very darknesses of eternity. And yet when I read those words in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, or 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord. You see, my friend, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want you to go to hell. And I know Roger doesn't want you to go there either. And I know the session and committee of this church don't want anyone that comes to these meetings week after week. It's the last place that we ever want you to go to is to go to a lost eternity. My friend, we don't want you lost, but we want you won and we want you over there. And that's why we persuade you to come to Christ. That's why we preach Christ. That's why we lift up a crucified Savior and ask you to come to Him. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. How do you let your mind get into such words in Luke chapter 16? And here you find in verse 19 it says, "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Now here's the certainty of death. Here's the sureness. And it says there, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried." My friend, there's no mention there of Lazarus' burial. There's no mention there saying of the poor beggar, he had a burial. But it says that the rich man had a burial. And all I can think is this poor beggar who sat at the rich man's table and desired for crumbs. When he was dying, he was just taken and thrown out. But his soul was comforted. That's the difference. Fear not the one that can destroy the body, but fear the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. And this rich man had much in his lifetime. My friend, the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he rejected all of God's goodness. He rejected all that God had blessed him with throughout his lifetime. He went to hell because he rejected God's offer of salvation. And that poor beggar sat at his gates, and I believe Lazarus was the same man. And every time that rich man entered in, Lazarus would have said, "You need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to be washed in the blood." They both died. One went to Abraham's bosom and the other went to hell. And the Bible says there, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment. And seeing Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me. And said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame." My friend, I'm fighting to hold back tears. Because I tell you why tonight. There are millions upon millions of people and they're in the darkness of hell and they're crying for one more gospel meeting, one more gospel opportunity, one more moment to get saved. There's no coming back. There's no final. Because God said to that rich man, "There is a great gulf fixed between me and thee and no man can come between it." No man. My friend, where is that rich man tonight? He's in the caverns of the damned tonight, crying for one more opportunity. And he's never going to get it. Turn with me to Revelation, and I finish with this. Revelation chapter 20. If you're in this meeting as an unsaved person, I pray by the grace of God that you will never find yourself standing at the great white throne. I have a man say to me in my outreach and my work for God, "When I get home, when I stand before the Lord, I'll be able to argue this and argue that and say this." My friend, if you find yourself standing before the great white throne, you will not be able to say one word. You will not be able to say one word. And here it says in verse 11, and John is the writer, "And I, John, and I saw the great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." Now here's the bit. "And they were judged, every man, according to their works." My friend, the word of God says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment." Here it is, in Revelation chapter 20.
The Bible says that whosoever name was not found written, it says there. It says, and the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, are you saved tonight? Are you trusting in Christ? Are you washed in the blood? Have you made preparation for the day of your death? The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. My friend, you need to prepare now. You need to come to the Savior right now. You need to put your trust and faith in Him. Do you ever think of it? That sitting in this meeting, there could be those in this hall tonight who will be sitting in this meeting for the last time. There could be us here who are saved, and this could be our Lord, our last Lord's Day evening. Before we ever get back to this Sunday next week in God's will, there could be those saved amongst us who could be in the glory tonight. They could be in the glory this week. But my friend, there are those sitting amongst us not saved. Before another gospel opportunity would come round, before these doors would ever open next Sunday, there could be those sitting in this meeting who could be in the caverns of the dams of hell, lost forever. My friend, that's why Christ came. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. My friend, He has came once. He has came once. He has went to the cross of Calvary. He has died on the cross. He has shed His precious blood. He has bore your judgment. He has bore your wrath. He has bore the penalty of your sin. He has bore it on the cross of Calvary. And my friend, there is nothing more for you to do but to come to Christ and be gloriously and wonderfully saved. My friend, look away from your sin. Look away from those things that are holding you back and enter in at the cross. Enter in at the cross and be gloriously and wonderfully saved. He says, all they that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, are you saved tonight? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's final. My friend, may there be no one, and I say this with a hand on my heart, may there be no one in this meeting ever find themselves standing before the great white throne of God. Because my friend, I can't even start to comprehend what punishment that judgment will be to those who die without the Savior. But there is a judgment. Will you not come to the Savior tonight? Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throne. Come to Christ tonight. Come and be saved. Be born again before it be. Don't leave this meeting, please. Don't leave the meeting without the Savior. But come tonight and be born again. We're going to close our meeting tonight by turning to hymn number 242. And if I can be any help to you tonight, we'll be here for a while after the meeting. Please feel free to come and speak to us. I can't save you, but I thank God tonight I can point you to the one who can, and I know He's able to do so. And He's well able. And my friend, when He saves you, He will keep you. And He will stay with you, even through the day of your death.
and bring you safely home to be with Christ, which is far better. Standing to sing verses 1 and verses 5. Verses 1 and 5 of hymn number 242. Father, thou hast brought us afresh, and thou hast reminded us, Lord, again of eternity. And Lord, thou hast reminded us of a certain and of a surety, Lord, that we will one day die. And again, Lord, thou hast reminded us, Lord, that there is an after this, and that, Lord, there is a judgment to come. And Father, we pray, Lord, for those of us who are saved, that, O God, that thou will continue to give to us judgment day honestly, that, O God, that we will be faithful to the warning of men and women of their need of a Saviour. That, Lord, that we will not do anything that will bring shame upon thy name. But, Lord, help us always to lift up and exalt the Saviour who died for us. But, Lord, we realise in the meeting tonight there are those, and, Lord, they're not saved. Lord, they're on their way still to a lost eternity. And, Lord, if this was to be their last gospel service, to go out of a meeting like this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. O God, grant the saving grace. May men and women be wise and choose Christ and be saved for all of eternity. Lord, part us in thy love and with thy blessing, and take us to our homes in safety. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.